on a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning. We have Gary on the line. But as we get to Gary, though, Chris called and couldn't hang on and wanted to know about pine trees. We were talking earlier about this pine blight. Well, he doesn't have that. He just wants to know, can he transplant a pine tree? I mean, that's I know Arizona Big Tree Movers has up to 72.
90-inch.
A 90-inch spade? Was that big enough for a pine tree?
Well, it depends. You know, we planted one that was about 8, 10 inches in diameter with the 90-inch spade truck successfully. It's still in our front yard today, and we love it. It's great. But there's limits on what you can, with the size of a tree, you can transplant. Pines are a difficult transplant.
Yeah.
Greg was saying, you know, I could hear his groaning over there when you started talking about that. They're a tough transplant.
Yeah.
They are.
Because they go so deep with the roots.
Well, you can start, give Arizona Big Tree Movers a call, and if anyone can do it, it's going to be them. He also wanted to know, does hydrangea, is that something that he could grow in the desert?
It's difficult to grow in the desert. It really likes acid soil, and we have alkaline soil. It also does not particularly like the heat. So a lot of people really like those colorful hydrangea. And in my experience, if I plant them in my yard, the heat just sucks the color out of them. So they start out blue or pink and they end up just kind of white. So they are a difficult plant. I would put one in a pot if you wanted to try it so that you can control the soil acidity a little bit better and put it in a little shady, cool area.
And Kari, you're now author of City Farming. Do you still have the micro farm project? I know y'all had a move recently.
We did have a move. So yes, we do have the micro farm project still, but it has changed significantly. Right now, I have a chicken coop, but I have no chickens in it. I have garden space, but no garden in it. I'm really just growing in containers, and I'm observing my space and trying to decide the best places to grow food and to get my farm started up the best way possible.
Something you, Farmer Greg, you were talking about last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Observe, observe, observe.
Yep.
Well, we've got, as I said, we have an unstoppable panel. Let's see.
Unstoppable or unstumpable?
Unstumpable. Let's see what everyone can provide for Gary, who's joined us on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Gary, go ahead.
Hey, good to talk with you guys this morning.
Right back at you.
I love the segments on Arizona. Our family's out hiking the Arizona Trail. It's 800 miles long, and we take our little dog, Phoenix, along with us on many of the hikes. But we've got a problem with our little Phoenix at home. She just goes crazy in the backyard and digs up our sprinkler systems and, eats a lot of the plants and she loves water, so she just jumps into the swimming pool and just barks at her splashes as she's splashing around in the pool. And she's just an all-around water dog, but it's getting quite expensive. We spent at least $800 on repairing the sprinkler system a couple times and trying to train her to somehow not dig up the sprinklers, but it's just not working. I'm wondering if there's anything you could put on them or any other suggestions you might
Farmer Greg,
for a dog that's out of control.
Farmer Greg, raise his hand first. He's got something for you.
Well, that's a dog training issue. There's not anything you can do with the sprinklers. I work with Tony Drugman over at Doggone It, and we just got ourselves a new puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in training classes with her. One of the tools that I use is a dog training collar. It's a collar that goes around them, and it vibrates when they're doing something you don't want them to do. So that's really just a dog training issue. I don't know that there's anything you can do to prevent them from, you know.
Our dogs are the same way. If they see the water spraying, they go after it.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. So we have our sprinkler heads really low in the ground so that they don't mess with them when the irrigation's off. But as soon as that irrigation pops on and they pop up, that's, you know, fair game. But we do the same thing. And we train our dogs, but you have to actually be out there with them and
you
training
have to catch
them
in the act.
That does take time to do, but I think it's really worth it.
Yeah, in the meantime, you know, being maybe protecting your yard just like you'd protect your house with child safe devices, you know, the backyard at our first home when we had our first dog was, it became a bit of a moonscape. You know, we just realized we couldn't be doing a lot of those planting projects we wanted to, and we kind of gave away certain parts of the yard to during that training period. So, yeah, it's tough to bring a new dog back into an environment like that when their instincts just say, "Hey, go dig, have fun," you know.
Yeah.
And John, I remember a story you even talked. I don't know if this is the same dog, but you had planted a fruit tree. The dog ate it.
Oh yeah.
And it actually ended up becoming one of your best fruit trees down the road.
It was. Well, he cut off. He chewed off about five of them at about 18 inches off the ground.
Oh, I remember this.
And I came out there and I was so disappointed, but I just kind of trimmed up the little cut edge because I bought them from Greg here, and they were just new trees. We planted 19, and those five were the ones he cut off. Those are our best trees to this day.
Yep.
Because it
pruned them back so far.
The regrowth was a candelabra of beautiful mm-hmm. branches at about knee high, and those trees are the most manageable. They are the easiest to harvest, and it's just so cool to think that our dog helped us prune those.
This is what I'm talking about. You got to prune your trees short.
Join John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm, and Kari Spencer of what, Kari? The author of the City Farming Micro Project?
Author of City Farming.
There we go. We'll be back after this. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. Text to 411-923 and email info@rosieonthehouse.com if you have a question on plant or insect identification. Email us a picture there.